sang a song with precious is our Lord to us, the one who died for us. We're always going to be able to serve him. The question we find ourselves, I want us to ask the question as we look into the Sermon on the Mount again. How is Jesus' relationship to the law? We know as we read all the scriptures together that the law cannot make us righteous. The works of the law cannot make us righteous. We read in the scripture that indeed the law of God, if you're going to try to justify yourself by the works of the law, you'll never be right before God. We know that the law came to an end. And Jesus would be the end of the law, Paul says in Romans. And we ask ourselves, well, what was his attitude about it when he was here? We honor him and we walk according to him. What is our leader, the one we just sung praise to? What was his attitude about the law? Paul said it was holy and righteous and good. But it was never designed to justify us from our sins. Jesus would be that Lamb of God. Not a real lamb, but the Lamb of God that takes away our sins. So we know at this point that I could not be justified by the law of Moses. We've got the gospel. That's the good news about Jesus. He's the one that justifies us by his blood. What was his attitude about it? A lot of people would say, I'm here to just destroy it to the ground because I'm going to set up a new law. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that it's the law of Christ. Is it what, law of Moses? No, it's the law of Christ. Did he just say, let's just tear it all down? It can never make you righteous. It's going to be that. It's just tear it down and we will set up what I say to you. And it's interesting when we read Matthew 5:17 of his response, even though the law was coming to an end, we'll see what his work was, what his attitude about the law was, and that we can understand how we in the kingdom of heaven should react to what God has told us to do in the New Testament. So we're open our Bibles to Matthew 5:17-20. And it was read for your hearing this morning. So we're going to take these principles that we see here. And at the first, I began to realize, well, it wasn't just about the law, was it? Jesus is speaking here about the law and the prophets. Because he adds the prophets. The law was law of Moses. Got the Pentateuch. Then you got these prophets that are going to be preaching to the people about the law. And he mentions both of them here. I thought his attitude about the law, it is. But he's setting us up what his attitude about the law was that included the prophets. Just destroy it to the ground. It was no good. It never was going to make you righteous. We're going to live under a new law. Let's forget about it. No. He tells us very plainly that think not that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. Now let's talk about that. He did not come to destroy that means to melt it to the ground. That's to mean to the idea of just completely level it out, loose it from all of its requirements. Let's just get rid of the law. He said, I didn't come to do that. Though it's coming to an end in him. His attitude was, I came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them both. And part of that is indeed the law. What does that mean? It means I did not come to overthrow the law. Jesus would live under that law and die under that law. He didn't come to overthrow it. That's what the word destroy means. But I came to accomplish it. To what it pointed toward. That was his attitude. In political circles, we just want to tear down the other person's agenda, destroy it, and let's build our agenda, build our country the way our agenda is. Just destroy it first. Jeremiah had to cut things down, destroy things in order to build back up. But Jesus says, I came to accomplish it, fulfill it. It's going to bring, it's going to come to an end, but it's pointing towards something, and that something is someone, and it's me, Jesus Christ. So we think about came not to overthrow it, but came to accomplish it. We read in John the 10th chapter how he uses the scripture to, in order to emphasize what people ought to be recognizing now. It's in a context where Jesus says, I and the Father are one. They say, Jesus, you blaspheme because you made yourself as a man. You made yourself to be as God. It's in this context that Jesus answers and said, is it not written in your law? He's appealing to the law that all are under. They've been under since Moses. He said, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture received, and the scripture cannot be broken. So here is a of the Psalms, where indeed Jesus is pointing to, and the word is, you're gods. You notice the context of Psalms. We don't have time to go through that today. It was the judges. It was the people that were judging according to the teachings of God. And back in those times, they would indeed, here I point the judges, and they're going to teach you the law of God. They weren't doing that. They weren't helping the helpless as they should. You're a gods, but you're going to die like men. The word gods there, he's pointing to that. That's a plural. And someone called them gods, and the scripture cannot be broken. I didn't come to destroy it. I came to show you in your law, it says it can't be broken. So what do you... So you got a problem with me saying I am the Son of God, which I am. But your law says you're gods. And meaning they're judges, inspired judges, and they weren't doing the work. That's what the psalmist was dealing with. And we began to realize that he cared about the law. He used it to confirm himself. And realized that indeed, I'm now coming from heaven. And I call myself the Son of God, and I am blaspheming when the law said there were men that were sons of God, that were gods, because they were standing in the place of God and judging the people. I did not come to overthrow it. I came to accomplish it. So I didn't overthrow it. I'm using it. But Isaiah 53, verses 7 following, we realize that indeed he was the sheep. He was the sheep that was offered up. He did not rebel against that. He opened not his mouth. And we find the Ethiopian eunuch that he's involved in reading from the scriptures. That's the prophets. And Jesus is that Lamb of God that freely gave himself up to die. Did not whimper in anything to resist his death. Did not speak a word in order to try to escape it. In Acts 8, 32 through 35, he preached unto him Jesus in verse 35. From this scripture, Jesus fulfilled it. He accomplished it. He didn't just melt it to the ground in his day. We got a new one coming. He honored it for what its purpose was. And he used the scripture, said it can't be broken. I didn't come to destroy it. I came to accomplish it. And it was pointing toward that. So he includes the prophets with this law at the outset of our study. And so, well, he wasn't tearing it to the ground. He came to fulfill it. Secondly, we begin to realize in Romans 10:4, at the same time, he was the end of the law. So it was coming to an end. He recognized that it can't be broken. It's going to be fulfilled. And he's indeed the one, as Paul, Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness to everyone that believeth. Works of the law is not going to justify you. He's the end of the law. He's accomplishing what the law cannot do. He accomplished. So it's not destroying, it's fulfilling, bringing it to its, what its focus is, that one could be made righteous. So John 10:34 speaks that in Colossians 2:14, it says we're not under it anymore. What Jesus did in his death, he accomplished, and therefore we're not under that law. Listen how Paul writes this in verse 14. And it's in a context that we're baptized now and have our sins washed away, blotted out. But he said, having blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us. It was against us because we didn't live up perfectly to it. So it condemns us. Now we have Jesus. And he says, he blotted out the bond written in orange, says that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he nailing it to the cross, brought that to an end. It was accomplished. And so we can look at Jesus. What the gospel was when he died and rose again, is up in heaven, is the fact he's the end of the law under righteousness. He's indeed the one. He nailed that to the cross, so we don't judge people by the Sabbath days and so forth. We're under a new law. That's true. But isn't it interesting? Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy it. His purpose was to fulfill it. So Romans 10 makes sense. Colossians 2 makes sense. And he's honoring God, what he has sent through Moses, as he's preparing us for the spiritual kingdom of heaven. So with that thought in mind, he said, not one jot or one tittle. He brings us into the language of the Hebrews and the Greeks, and the Greek-speaking world at this time, but of the Hebrews, of the Jews. It was important. Not one jot or one tittle shall pass away from the law till all things be accomplished. That was what he would say. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. But indeed, this is what he says. This is the attitude about the law. I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass away. He says, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass away from the law till all things be accomplished. So he's in this idea of accomplishing things. So he takes two small things that comes out of the written language. He speaks about the jot and the tittle. You look at the jot, that is a small letter. It's in the Hebrew, also Greek. But it's a small letter compared to other letters. The tittle is the little marking that might come at the end of a letter. Small things. And the smallest letter or the smallest marking will not pass away from the law. Every part is important. I didn't come to crash it. I came to fulfill it. And every part of it is important. And you see here, here's the name Jacob. Has a jot and a tittle in it. Dot the I's and cross the T's. We say we're real particular about things. Dot the I and cross the T. Here's the contract. And that's how he used that. Well, that's respecting the law. That's what Jesus did. He saw its purpose, and till heaven and earth pass away, this is going to be accomplished. And all things be accomplished. So we're talking about fulfilling that. So now we begin to look at what happens if I disobey the commandments. Oh, no problem. We're going to bring it to an end, and it's over with. No, it's important as they live under that law. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, jot or tittle, the least of the commandments. He's still thinking small term, very least of the commandments. And shall teach men so, yeah, that becomes important, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, the rule of heaven. And God was going to rule through Jesus Christ. Jesus is king over his kingdom, the spiritual kingdom of God. And he's preparing us for what should be our attitude about God and his law as he prepares us for this spiritual kingdom that Jesus is going to accomplish. He said, whosoever shall therefore break one of these least commandments and teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So when we think about breaking these commandments and teaching men so, he's now said, scribes, Pharisees, got my eyes on you. And our eyes need to go on too. They will in the very next verse. He's preparing us for it. And teach men so. There's your scribes, there's your Pharisees, there's your teachers. Don't you dare break one of these least commandments. But we've got problems with the teachers. And just to kind of emphasize that, in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, in verse 23, here is Jesus dealing with the teachings of the Pharisees. He calls them blind guides, scribes. And one of the things we see here in verse 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites. For you tithe and mint, and anise and cumin." Real small herbs. You tithe those. That's great. That's their law. That's what they're teaching. "But you have left undone the weightier matters of the law, justice." You don't treat your fellow man right. But boy, I'm right with God. Look how much I tie that little herb over there. I'm doing that for God. "You are weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith," which means faithfulness to your word, showing mercy to others, being just with our fellow man. You've laid that aside. But we're going to tithe the very minute detail of your products out of your ground. That's good, but we don't have to do this. You left undone the weightier matters. How did Jesus react to that? "You blind guides, you strain out the gnat and you swallow the camel. You do these little things, but you miss the big picture." But he says, "These ought you have done and not have left the other undone." All of it. But here we're teachers coming, we're going to give you the law, and we're going to teach you the law, and that's their practice. You break one of these least commandments, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. You're going to follow the scribes and the Pharisees? Scribes and Pharisees, are you teaching these things? He's calling them out. But on the other hand, if you do and teach them, so the teaching is there, if you do and teach them, you'll be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So let's see what he says in Matthew 23, verses 1 through 3. "Then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to the disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat with authority as teachers, ruling the people. All things therefore, whatsoever they bid you, these do and observe," because it's coming from the law. "But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." If you do and teach them, if you teach and do them, you'll call great in the kingdom of heaven. You break the least of these commandments, the very minute part of it, you'll be called least in the kingdom of heaven. What were they doing? You do as they teach you from the law, because that's the law. But you don't follow their example, because they don't do it. They leave undone the weightier matters of the law. And they had their own way of reflecting upon the law of Moses. Jesus respected the law. He despised the hypocrites. And that should sober us. We say y'all to do this and do it. Do we do it? Do we say and do not? Do and teach them. And we, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the wise man and the foolish man, they're designed not only those who heard the word, but they did it. That's the wisdom. So we see him condemning the breaking of any of the laws of God and indicting the teachers. He's already called them out, scribes and Pharisees. So what we see in this last part is that we now see that we're going to have to do righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. I told you they're in his focus. "For I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven." What does it mean that our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? Is it the idea of being more than the same? Because if I don't do that, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So I need to know what it means to do more. They do a little bit of, I need to tithe a little bit more than the anise and cumin to get more than 1/10%. What does that mean? More of the same? I just need to exceed them? They're not righteous enough for you, Lord? We'll just keep doing these things? Well, what were they doing? They weren't doing as the God told them. They were leaving undone the weightier matters of the law, of our relationship with our fellow man and with one another. Jesus is upholding the law. Is it more the same? Or is it different in character? We've already seen their character. We already see what they consider themselves to be righteous and what they're teaching, leaving loopholes and all of those things. We realize, no, it's not more of the same. To exceed, not more of the same, to exceed means I've got to put it on a different level that exceeds the righteousness they thought they had. And he said, this is essential to be in the rule of God from heaven. He's ruling from heaven. This is the character that we should have. And it needs to be different in character. Now, I say that because we're about to embark upon what righteousness and the law is spelled out and what the attitude of the teachers, scribes, and Pharisees were that Jesus begins to deal and make application. But I'm laying out, here's what we should prepare for. Because we think, well, we're going to start now. You've heard it was said, thou shalt not kill. We got a new sect. No, we've got an explanation. We've got now focusing upon what he just said. Our righteousness must exceed that righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. We've already seen the scribes and the Pharisees. We just gave two passages. What their problem is. And it's, Jesus didn't come tear it down. They're not living up to it. But he now is going to speak about things that's coming with his authority that describes the character of you and me today. So we go to more of what Jews did for righteousness? No. What are we going to do? It's going to be different. Let's look at them real quickly and we'll pass on to it and be the end of the lesson. Number one, thou shalt not murder. Next paragraph, shall not commit adultery. Better pay attention to your oaths. Because they got loopholes over there in that one. What's this? This is explaining the difference of the righteousness of God and the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. What about your giving? Well, that's down here in chapter 6, man. I thought we're preaching on Matthew 5, 17 through 20. He hadn't finished yet about how we do our righteousness. My Bible, American Standard, do not your righteousness to be seen of men. You'll have, do your alms deeds. Do your benevolence. That's part of being righteous. And you've heard it said, this is what you need to do. Be careful about your oaths, and he's right. You've heard it was said from old time, that performing your oaths in verse 38, but verse 33, but verse 38, you've heard it was said, an eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. That's justice. Get even. Eye for an eye. You take my eye out, I'll take your eye out. That's what the law said. But Jesus takes this kind of accomplishing what he wants to do in the kingdom of heaven without destroying the law and not restating the law in a sense that we're going to have to keep this law. He's going to be pointing out something different about it, all of these. And we come to the idea of giving my alms. Verse 43, who am I to love? He says, you've heard it said, thou shalt love the neighbor and hate the enemy. Who's saying that? The scribes and the Pharisees. He said, you had not read. He wasn't speaking about reading here. You could have. But it's interesting to me. He said, every one of these, you've heard it was said. Where did they hear it? Thou shalt not commit murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not be involved in committing adultery. Who is, they were teaching it. And that's about the limit to it. And Jesus takes us on a journey. And it goes through chapter 6 with our almsgiving, our praying, and our fasting. That was indeed part of the practice of the Jews under the old law. You've heard it was said, that's your teacher taking you right to the law of Moses. And this is what the law said. But you said, that's not the righteousness that God wants us to have. And Jesus takes us on that journey. And that's why he says, but I say unto you. He wasn't condemning the law. He's not defining the law. This is the way it's supposed to be. He's setting it down. You've heard it was said. Now I'm speaking to you. He's setting up the standard of what it's going to be like in his kingdom. That's where you and I are today. So what does he say? I'm going to not tear down those teachings, but I'm going to hit your heart. What's your heart like? Got anger? You let your anger, I didn't kill him. What about your heart? He speaks about anger. He speaks about calling someone a moron, calling someone a fool. You're in danger of hellfire. If all you're doing is, I didn't commit the act. So let me tell you what the law of Moses really meant. He's not necessarily saying that. Maybe wrong, but I'm just saying that. He said, that's what you heard said. And that was going to be about it. Just don't commit the act. You look at a woman and lust after her all you want to. Just don't commit adultery. That's what the law meant. Well, the law meant don't kill and don't lust after and don't commit adultery. That's what the law said. And they heard it said. They didn't read it out of the Torah. They heard it said. That's their teachers, scribes and Pharisees. This is how we live under the righteousness of the law. Said, no. It never was. What about your heart? Do you lust? That's going to eliminate the idea of you're going to commit adultery. My anger is not going to sit there. That's an attitude of the heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And when your heart says, you don't deserve the same breath I take, what's that next step? You can kill him. But what about your heart? Raka, fool, moron. That attitude destroys your soul. And God's speaking. I'm saying it to you. What about holiness? I swear to God that this thing, you're going to break your swear, but swearing because you did it by, you know, the temple, not by heaven. You know, you got your little ways of getting around it. You've heard it was said that, but I'm saying to you, you keep your oaths. You don't have your loopholes like the scribes and the Pharisees do. What about getting even? Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. Was that mean to conduct the idea of getting even? Well, that's what the law said, and that's how it was applied. But Jesus is getting to our heart of getting even. I'll go the second mile. Strike me on my cheek, I'll give you the other one. You take away my inner garment, I'll give you the outside coat too. What's he saying that about? I'm not destroying the law. I'm bringing it to an end. I'm accomplishing it. But I want you to be aware of what makes you righteous before God. And he's not condemning the law. He's hitting at our heart of one who lives under law. And we're to love our enemies. You've heard it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Who's been saying that? That's the application of the scribes and the Pharisees, I believe. No, he's just destroying the law and he's setting up his own law, and that's what he's contrasting it. He's contrasting, your righteousness has got to exceed that, not more of the same. And we got our loopholes. We could do that in everything we do. But we're going to realize, what's the attitude of that heart that leads to those sins? That's what Jesus is hitting at. And what does he do? He deals with our motives. Take heed to do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them. That's motive. I've got my heart, maybe self-indulgent. I'm pretty special, you know. But I want to be seen of men. That's your motive. That's what he hits next. That's inside you. Why do you do it? You prayed to be heard of men? Or to go to heaven with your petition to God? He's not impressed. You want to do it in public? You can't pray in private? He sees you in private. Jesus is amplifying from the law that he's not come to destroy, he came to fulfill, but he said, they've missed it. They've missed it. They say, I've got these commandments, and that's all they see. In the kingdom of heaven that Jesus is involved with, you're going to not disrespect those principles, but you're going to have a different mindset. And he's speaking to you and me with that. What about alms? You do that to be seen of men? You pray, same thing, verses 5 following. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, scribes, Pharisees. Hypocrites, what are they doing? Well, brother, I started on my fast. How's it going with you? I've been fasting for 2 days. I'm now on my fifth day. See how drawn I am? No. What was the purpose of that? Fasting is not outlawed today. New Testament people, when they appointed elders, they're fasting. It's a discipline. It says, God, you're more important to me today than food. You're more important to me today than sex. You're more important to me than anything else. I'm dedicating my life. I'm going to study the Bible. I'm not eating today. And nobody has to know it. Just you and me, God. And when you can discipline yourself to say there's something more important than my biological urges, you say, God, I'm putting you first. And it's hard to go without food, a sexual relationship. But we're willing, those are right in themselves. But fasting was a discipline. It was a commitment that, God, you're more important than anything else in my life. And I'm going to try today. I'm going to fast. Jesus fasted for 40 days. He didn't command us to ever do that. But it's a discipline that sets you aside. Oh, we make fun of Lent season, don't we? Denominations may, have their own things, but Jesus was sitting for when you fast, you just anoint yourself and you don't let people know that. Because God sees in secret. He will reward you. And that's all that matters. My left hand didn't know what my right hand's doing. My giving alms. What's it all about? Why did he teach that? It's because here is in the context of the law. He's hitting at the law and he hits at the motives and doing righteousness. Why do you come to services? You have to ask yourself that question. To be seen of men. To make it about you, whatever you're doing. Praying, singing, song leading, preaching? Or is it focus upon your word, oh God? And Jesus is now preparing us, and we might not hit all of these different ones, but they seem to be pretty important to me right now, that having this idea will say, I know what it is that you've heard it was said, but I say, I got that now. And I see, I'm preparing myself. My righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. No, I'm going to be righteous because I'm going to come to Jesus by faith. And the law was not about faith in Jesus Christ. And that's your righteousness? You've missed it. Jesus doesn't speak about that. He speaks about your doing. He that hear these words and do them that I say are wise. It's about doing. But he hits at the teacher, doesn't he? Whoever does not do these things and teaches men so. He's hitting at the scribes and the Pharisees how they use the law. And Jesus was not saying, I'm going to expound upon the law of Moses. That's really what it meant. I don't know if that's the case. He didn't say that. What he's doing, you need to prepare yourself in the context and we realize here is what he said. You've heard it was said. That's good. But I say to you something you need to be taking care of, your anger, your heart, your motives, why you do things. And that becomes very important. And we're going to be now, with that backdrop, we're going to be hitting these particular discrepancies that people were living up. They were, well, take our oath seriously. I swear by the temple, not by the temple. Yeah, I got my own religion going. And ladies and gentlemen, when you and I take the gospel of Jesus Christ and we take it where we want it to go, instead of what is written, we're no different than the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites. We talk big things and we don't practice them. We're no different. And Jesus is trying to get us, he's changing our heart. why we do things, what's our motives, and the scribes and the Pharisees have it all messed up. So what do we do? What do we have? Jesus came not to destroy, but to accomplish. Kind of the term that denoted, well, here to fulfill or bring it to completion, but he talks about another point about it fills the nets for fish. That's kind of where the concept was. That's how he's going to fulfill the law and bring it to a fullness of how our service unto God. But he came to fulfill it, came to accomplish it. Don't break the least of the commandments. That's what they were under. Jesus never broke the least of them. Didn't break any of the commandments. Which of you convict me of sin? What is it? Well, you called yourself the Son of God, therefore you're a blasphemer. Law says you called yourself God's. Scripture can't be broken, you know. He honored the law. And but you break the least of these commandments, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. And if you teach and do the commandments, scribes, Pharisees, get on board. If you teach and do it, instead of just telling us what to do and you don't lift a finger to help anybody. Hearing and doing, teaching and doing, that's what's in this Sermon on the Mount that we're about to explore. If you teach and do the commandments, you'll be called great in the kingdom of God. You've heard it was said, scribes, Pharisees, but I say, Jesus Christ. And what is Jesus trying to accomplish? He's revealing the character of the citizen that is entering the kingdom of heaven. That's going to be entering the rule of God from heaven into the church. Not necessarily talking about heaven after a while. Entering the kingdom of heaven. The law of Moses is not going to do that for you. It's not going to justify you, and you're not living up to it anyway. Our righteousness has to exceed that of the righteousness of the Pharisees and scribes. And what he's doing, we're going to take care of our anger. We're going to take care of our eyes, how we look and lust in our hearts. We're going to take care about the vengeful spirit that we might have. We're going to care about, I want to be showy to other people, or by praying and my giving, my fasting, all of that. All that teaching that Jesus is going to be doing is in the pattern of this, what we're laying down this morning. And what he's doing, this is the character of a Christian in the kingdom. That we care about the heart, we care about our motives, we care about how we live before God. And I hope that we will want to rise up to that. And if we do, we'll be under the rule of God, the kingdom of heaven, because we do and teach them. And our righteousness will have exceeded the righteousness of hypocrites and Pharisees and Sadducees in Jesus' day. So we'll deal with that, Lord willing, next week. We'll get into that. Law of Moses had its place, but it never was to make you righteous. And this morning, we hit on a little bit our why do you think you need to be baptized? What's your motive? Is it to follow in the steps of Jesus? Is that your motive? Is it to show an outward sign of an inward grace that you've already been saved and you're just getting baptized to be an example of Jesus? And all sorts of motives we have. But the motive of saying, I want my sins washed away. Well, Terry, so I'll rise and be baptized and wash away that sin. My motive is to be saved by the blood of Christ this morning. That's why I would come to be baptized. And I'll confess him with his name. I'll confess his name unto salvation. Because I believe in my heart that he died for me, is raised for my justification. And I trust him and believe him, and I'm ready to obey. And if we can help you this morning to become a member of the church, fine. And we're here to help you. But if you're a member of the church and you're not living up as from our heart toward the gospel and living that in our life, we need to change. We need to get serious about our life as a Christian. If we can help you in any way to be stronger, come as we stand and as we sing.